The Winter Olympics could play a role in easing tensions on the Korean Peninsula. South Korea is proposing negotiations with the North next week. That offer came in response to what Kim Jong-un said in his New Year's Day speech. The North Korean leader said he would consider sending a delegation to the Winter Olympics in South Korea next month. But that conciliatory note came in a speech that also included this message for President Trump. Kim here is speaking through an interpreter.
The entire continent of America is within reach of our nuclear attack. They must never forget the nuclear button is placed on my desk at all times.
Retired Admiral James Stavridis is dean of the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. He's also former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO in Europe. He joins us now. Admiral Stavridis, welcome back.
Always great to be with you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Starts off with a bang, if I could say. What do you make of these two messages from North Korea?
Well, first of all, I'm just trying to picture that big red button on his desk. But I assure you, he does not have the capability at this moment to use an intercontinental ballistic missile with a nuclear weapon to reach the continental United States. He is certainly moving in that direction. But let's focus on the positive here.
Yeah.
And that is a real opening, and we ought to seize it. And the United States and China could have a role to play. We could expand this to four-party talks. But let's start small, let the two Koreas have the conversation, and hope diplomacy prevails.
Well, so let me ask you about that, because has the United States, through its own belligerent language over the past year regarding North Korea, sort of compromised its potential efficacy if indeed there are talks between the North and the South? Do either Koreas want the U.S. involved?
I'd say at this moment, probably not. And I would say that we have compromised our ability, but we haven't fatally ended it. And I think there's still time for the United States to play a positive diplomatic role here. And this gets us into the discombobulation in the Trump administration, where we have the president tweeting, talking about diplomacy won't work, and yet we have a Secretary of State saying, of course we need to try diplomacy, and a Secretary of Defense somewhere in the middle. The administration has to get its messaging straight. If it does, we have a role to play here.
Okay, so let's play another piece of tape here to get your response. This is Admiral Mike Mullen, former chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He was on ABC's This Week on Sunday. Let's listen to what he said.
We're actually closer, in my view, to a nuclear war with North Korea and in that region than we've ever been. And I just don't see the opportunities to solve this diplomatically at this particular point.
He seems to be disagreeing with you there, Admiral Stavridis. Your thoughts?
I disagree with his view that we do not have a diplomatic option here. I will say this. I agree that we are closer to a war than we have been, certainly in my career, stretching back four decades. I'd say the chances of a full-on war are about 20%. But I think there's still a 70-80% chance that diplomacy can work this thing out. And we ought to, again, seize on this tiny opening we're seeing from Kim Jong-un.
Admiral, to be perfectly honest, it kind of sends a chill through my spine to hear you say that the chance of a full-on war is as high as 20%.
It should, because it would result in casualties in the 2 to 4 million range, because it's hard to imagine a war that begins that does not involve a nuclear exchange on the Korean Peninsula. Kim Jong-un, if his regime is threatened, and he would lose this war, but his last act will be to unleash those nuclear weapons. So we've got to avoid that outcome. I think there are still diplomatic options to play, and we ought to move with this small opening as aggressively as we can.
So that said, Admiral, I mean, it sort of returns us to your earlier point about the vital importance of the Trump administration sort of aligning its message, right, in this moment. But, I mean, do we really know, or what do we know about what the commander-in-chief, what the president actually wants?
Well, we have certainly his tweet storms on display, but let us hope that the cadre around him, General John Kelly, Chief of Staff, General Jim Mattis over in the Pentagon, Secretary of State Tillerson, will move him off of this aggressive rhetoric and move us toward openings. Meanwhile, what we should be doing is increasing our intelligence, working closely with our South Korean partners to learn more about what's really happening in the North, increasing our missile defense, upping our cyber options. We have a lot we can do, and I would throw into the mix, Meghna, a maritime interception operation to really enforce this new round of sanctions. All of those are measures short of war that we ought to be pursuing.
Well, let's turn to the protests in Iran while we have you, Admiral Stavridis, because Iran's supreme leader today blamed demonstrations on, quote, Iran's enemies. He didn't name the United States, but, of course, President Trump has tweeted that Iran is failing at every level. You know, what should be the U.S.'s take or posture on Iran right now?
Well, the protests, I would say, represent both an opportunity and a danger. The opportunity is that if we play our hand of cards well and are relatively in the background on this, there is a real chance here of exchanging the regime in Tehran. On the other hand, the danger is if we get too aggressive, we'll make the story not about the protest, but about us as the great Satan. We'll become a rallying cry within Iran, and that would be disastrous and would set back the possibilities of a real regime change. So my argument is, yes, let's be involved in this. Let's, however, do it through our allies. Let's work through the Saudis, the Jordanians. But overtly pounding the table and calling out the regime at this minute is going to lead to an explosive turn within the country against the United States, and that will hurt this resistance. So we have to play our cards very carefully.
So how do we read the president's, again, people can say what they want about the tweets, but how do we read President Trump's tweets, which are expressing some sympathy for Iranian protesters? While at the same time, I mean, we have this travel ban that the Supreme Court has approved, putting Iran's on that list. Iranian people can't even come here. I mean, again, I'm just thinking big picture. Do the United States continue to hobble itself diplomatically regarding its influence in these moments with domestic decisions that the Trump administration has made or not?
We absolutely do. And let's face it, the Uber story in all of this, North Korea, Iran, the Islamic State, what happens in Syria, how to confront Russia for intrusion in our election. The Uber story here is the United States withdrawing from positions of leadership around the world so that when we do have an opportunity like we do at the moment in Tehran or a diplomatic opportunity in North Korea, we have reduced our own ability to engage, not only with our domestic policies, as you correctly point out, Meghna, but also our overt sense of withdrawal, say, from the climate agreement or from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. All of these are signals to the world that the United States doesn't want to lead. Then when we have an opportunity like this, we have much less ability to engage.
The entire post-war consensus around geopolitical stability has presumed American leadership. If you're saying that that's not there anymore, who's going to fill the void?
I have one word for you, and it's China. The most important speech of 2017 was not made in Washington, D.C. It was made in Beijing by Xi Jinping, the leader of China, talking about now is the time for China's emergence as a global power. And that doesn't mean the United States and China must go to war or will go to war, but it means we have serious competition in the world, and our value system, democracy, liberty, freedom of speech, human rights, gender equality, we execute it imperfectly, but it's the right set of values, and we will be challenged by a very different system from China. They are willing, ready, and able to step into these leadership voids we are creating.
Well, James Stavridis is dean of the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. He's also former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO. Admiral Stavridis, it's always rather bracing to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Meghna. Talk soon.